Easter is only a few weeks away, and so if you have not brought candy-filled eggs, we need them as soon as possible so we can have a count. And Easter is on the 31st. And so if you have a Hearst address, you most likely already received a postcard this week. We sent out 17,000 postcards for Easter. Every door in Hearst. If you haven't received it yet, you will. I received mine at my house. I think several other people received theirs. And so thankful for what the Lord is going to do for Easter. It is March 31st, and we're going to have a powerful worship service here. And then afterwards, we're going to go down to 1332 in the field there and let our children have an event there for hunting Easter eggs. And there are some postcards out here on the information center. Pick those up, pass them out to your neighbors, your friends, invite them to the house of God on Easter. And I know it will be a blessing to you. Amen. Also, Brother Caleb is asking me to announce that there is a work day next Saturday. Assume that's 9 a.m. Does that sound right? 9 a.m. next Saturday. Ben's work day, and that's at 1332 to get ready there. Is that correct? Okay. All right. Getting fed announcements as I go. So I'm going to read two verses of scripture that are so riveting, so powerful, and so exciting because it's the begets. The begets. Does that sound like fun? Matthew 1 and 5 says, "And Salmon beget Boaz of Rahab, and Boaz beget Obed of Ruth, and Obed beget Jesse." And then verse 16, we'll skip some of the begets since they're so exciting. Verse 16, "And Jacob beget Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ." And then one more passage of scripture before I let you be seated. Ephesians 3 and 20, very familiar passage of scripture to us, says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." And so there's a name that stands out in that first verse that we read, chapter 1 and verse 5, is the name Ruth. Everybody say Ruth. And then there is the same lineage in verse 16. The name that stands out, of course, is Jesus. And so Ruth was a part of the lineage of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. In Ephesians 3 and 20, that he is able to do abundantly above. Everybody say better. And so today I just want to preach to you on this subject, the God of better. The God of better. From forbidden to favored. The God of better. Can we pray? Lord, I pray that you would touch my mind and my heart, Lord, that you would help me to encourage your people, that you would fill people with the gift of the Holy Ghost today, that you would transform lives, that you would set them free from the things that bind them in the spirit. Lord, I pray that everyone that is under the sound of my voice, both here and online, that they would be delivered, that they would rise and take on something better. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray that you would touch our hearts and our minds. Amen. Put your Bible down and put your hands together for the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. The God of better. Amen. You may be seated today. Jeremiah 29 and 11, such a familiar passage of scripture to us. It is quoted often. It is stenciled. It is embroidered. It's everywhere because it is such a popular scripture. It says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. And then in Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 1 through verse 6, the writer brings forth some incredible revelation. It says, now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and a true of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not a man. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices, whereof it is a necessity that this man has somewhat also to offer. For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing there are priests that offer gifts according to the law, who served under the example and shadow of heavenly things. He's talking about the Old Testament. As Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle, for see, saith he, that thou maketh all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount. But now hath he, talking about Jesus, obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. And so today I want to preach to you a message called The God of Better. You know, sometimes we have expectations and sometimes we have hopes and dreams and we have prayers that we have prayed. But I want you to know that no matter what you can raise the level of your prayer to, no matter what you can raise the level of your faith to, that the God that we serve today is the God of better. Because now unto him that is able to not just do abundantly, but exceeding abundantly, above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And so we see this process in our life today, that if we will come to God and we will walk in his way and we will try to do our best to live for him, I want you to know that he is the God of better. He has something greater for you than you can even imagine. He has greater revelation than you ever hoped for. He has greater peace than you could ever think of. He has greater blessing than you could ever pray for. And so I want you to know today that we serve a God of better. Of better. There's a name in our first verse that we read today, that Boaz beget Obed of Ruth. Ruth was the mother of Obed, and Obed was the mother of Jesse, or the father of Jesse. And so we see this lineage began to take place, but this name stands out to us because Ruth was not born a Jew. She was a Moabitess. She had been raised in an idolatry culture. She had been raised in a false god culture. She had been raised in a city, in a town that did not worship God, did not understand his ways. But there came a process in her life. The Bible says that in the book of Ruth, which is just such a beautiful story, if you want to read a story, it almost reads like a novel, really. The book of Ruth and the story of Ruth, chapter 1 and verse 1. It said, and now when it came to pass in the days when judges ruled, that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons Mahlon and Chilion. Ephraites of Bethlehem, Judah, they were a Jewish people, and they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them, and the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. In verse 19, and so she gets to the place where she decides that she is going to go back, and she is going to go back into Bethlehem, and she is going to leave the country of Moab. And so she tells her two daughter-in-laws that are now widows, all three of them are widows. And she tells Orpah, she says, I want you to go back to your people because I don't have any more sons. And I'm so old now that even if I had another son, which is impossible, then he would be too young for you to marry. She also told Ruth, I want you to go back to your people and I want you to leave me and I'm going to go back to Bethlehem. I'm going to go back to my country. And so we see this process as they loved Naomi. Even Orpah must have loved her somewhat because she said, I don't want to leave you. But Naomi pressed her to go back and Orpah gave in and said, okay. And she kissed her and she went back to her own family. But we see this character named Ruth, this woman, this Moabitess, this widow. She had lost everything and here she is with her mother-in-law. And she says, no, I will not leave you. Wherever you go, I am going to go with you. And your people are going to be my people. And your God is going to be my God. And let me just insert this today, that no matter what your background, no matter where you came from, no matter how you were taught when you were a young person, no matter how you have lived your adult life, if you're here today, I want you to know that God recognizes your desire. You're not here on accident. You're not here by happenstance. In fact, the Bible says no man can come to God except the Spirit draw him. And so you're here today on purpose. And let me just tell you, just like God looked down and saw the heart of Ruth, and he saw something that he could use, and he decided that he was going to give her something better. You're here today and you did not maybe have very high expectations. Maybe you came to see somebody. Maybe you came because there's a family member that asked you to come. Maybe you came to hear the good music, or maybe you came to see the handsome pastor preach an amazing sermon. I know that was funny. Anyway, I'm well aware. But whatever reason you're here today, God has something better than you expected. You expected just a little song and a little sermon and maybe a handshake and a hug and maybe some coffee before. And you expected maybe just another service. But let me just tell you that today is not just another service. On this March 17th of 2024, this can be a signpost moment when you look back and say, hey, I'm going to be here. Your God is going to be my God. Your people are going to be my people. And God's going to look down and say, hey, I see the heart of a sincere person that wants something more from God than they wanted yesterday. And so we see this process. Ruth clings to Naomi, and Naomi and her head back to Bethlehem. They head back to Israel. And they go in, and we see this process in Naomi. Her name is Naomi, but when she gets back there, everybody sees her and recognizes her. Is this Naomi? And she said, oh, don't call me Naomi anymore. Call me Mara. Mara means bitter. I'm bitter. I've lost so much. I left everything I loved back in Moab. let me just insert this today. Can I just insert this for you? Don't leave the house of bread. Don't, that's what Bethlehem means. Don't leave the house of God. Don't leave to think that you're going to find something better elsewhere, because when you come back, there's going to be full of bitterness and loss. Don't go to Moab. I don't care how bad it feels in the house of bread. There's still power. There is still provision. There is still anointing in the house of God. You don't have to leave to realize that you should have stayed. Let me tell you, young people, there ain't nothing out there. There's nothing out there. Don't leave to realize that you should have stayed. Don't leave God. Don't go try drugs. Don't go try alcohol. Don't go try the things of perversion of this world. Stay right here. This is where it's at. This is everything. This is life. So Naomi comes dragging back into town. Don't call me Naomi anymore. Don't call me my delight. That's what her name meant. My delight. Call me bitterness. Call me bitter. I am Naomi, but I am Mara. Mara. And we see this is a different time and a different age because her husband's dead and because her two sons are dead. Now there's no one to receive the inheritance. There's no one to go back and claim the land that they had before or the house that they had before. Now she is at the mercy of her kinsmen, those people that were kin to her husband, those that were kin to her. Now she's at their mercy. And we see there's a law in the Old Testament, and it's called Peah, P-E-A-H. And technically, it means the law of the corners. The law of the corners. What does that mean? We're talking about an agriculture society, and I have a picture of wheat here, because they would leave the corners of the fields. It was like their social program. It was like them taking care of the less fortunate. So when they would glean the fields, instead of going all the way to the corner and taking a right turn and getting it all, they would round off the corners, and they would leave the wheat or the grain or whatever it was, they would leave it standing so that later on when they got finished, the poor could come by and they could use that as their portion. It was the law of the corners. Peah. And so Naomi sent Ruth, because Naomi's up in years now, so Ruth is younger. She sent her out into the field, and she was very precise. She said, I want you to go into the field of Boaz. He is one of our kinsmen, and he is a very wealthy man. And so she sends Ruth out into the field of Boaz to glean from the corners of the field and to pick up what the reapers drop along the way. And we see Boaz as he comes in, and he looks across the field and he sees someone that he does not recognize. And the Bible tells us that he looked on her and she was beautiful. And he began to ask the questions of his servants. Who is this woman? Who is this person out here gleaning from the corners of the field and picking up after the reapers trying to feed her and her family? And they said, well, this is Naomi's daughter-in-law. This is Ruth. She is a Moabitess. And so Boaz, he instructs his reapers. He says, all right, I want you to not just leave the corners, but I want you to give her permission to come, and those things that you have already harvested. The Bible calls them sheaves. You've seen these in pictures. They gather the stalks of the wheat, and they put them and they wrap them, and they're just standing up like this, and they're getting ready to be taken so that they can process and shake the grain off, right? And so they can make bread. And so Boaz says, instead of just having her reap the corners, which is just such a meager amount, I want you to allow her. I don't want you to forbid her. When she comes near to you, I want you to offer for her to take a sheave, a whole, it's already taken. All she's got to do is carry it back. And then along the way, I want you, as you are reaping, Pastor Fernando, as you're reaping, I want you to drop some handfuls on purpose. Oh, I want you to, oops. Oh, you can kind of wave at Ruth and say, look. And so this is really, Boaz is a picture of our kinsman, redeemer, our Messiah. And so she receives the favor of this man, and he begins to provide for her. And so Naomi, her expectation was that we'll just glean the corners. And then it gets better. Now we can take a sheave or two. And then it gets even better. We're gonna leave some handfuls on purpose. And so Ruth starts coming back, and Naomi's like, wow, man, you're good at this. Where did you learn to be such a good reaper? She begins to tell the story. Well, at first, she may not even understood what was happening. Well, I go out there, and the reapers have already gone to the other end of the field, and there's just a sheep there. And they look at me, and I look at it, and they let me take it. And then as I was walking back, I started finding little piles of grain where they shouldn't be. It's almost, Naomi, it's almost like they put them there on purpose. And so she comes back, and she has all of this plenty. And she had something better. And so Naomi was expecting just a little, but Ruth brought back more. But God was not done with Ruth. God was not done with Ruth, because Ruth had caught the eye of Boaz. And Boaz was a kinsman. And so now Boaz could be a redeemer of the land, the possessions that would have been rightfully Elimelech's or Mahlon or Chilion's if they would have been back. He not only can save Naomi and Ruth from starvation, but now he can redeem their stuff. And so let me just drop this in, and my time is short today, but I just want to let you know that as I fast forward to the end of this story, Boaz falls in love with Ruth. And so now not only does she have what she needs, but now he has taken her into his life as a wife. Now he, through his kinsman to Naomi, and there's a bigger story here that I'm not going to tell. He had to go back and forth with another man that might have been in line before him, blah, blah, blah. Okay. But ultimately, Boaz becomes the kinsman redeemer for Naomi and her heritage. And in the process, he takes Ruth. He falls in love with her. He redeems her. Now, this Moabitess that was forbidden, she could not come into the place where God was. She could not worship there. But now she is converted into the Jewish nation. And now, not only is she a part of it in her lifetime, but God has grafted her in. The Bible says that the olive tree, which is Israel, and we are the wild olive tree, he has grafted us in. He has made us a part of the whole. He has made us a part of his kingdom. And I want you to know today that you may have been alienated and you may have been forbidden and you may have thought, I can never be in his presence. I can never lift up holy hands without wrath and doubting. I can never come boldly before the throne of grace and make my petitions known. I could never have a table prepared for me in the presence of mine enemies. I could never be called a son or a daughter of God. And you just came in this place and you're almost like the prodigal son. When he came home, he said, I'm going to come back to my father and I'm going to tell him, oh, if I could just be a servant, if I could just get in on the ground floor, if you just let me come in, I'll serve. I'll open the doors. I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'll clean the bathrooms. I'll sweep the floors. Whatever you need me to do, I'll serve tables. You just tell me. And the prodigal son comes back to the father. And before he even gets it out of his mouth, the father is already, shh, hush, hush. The prodigal son says, Father, I'm not worthy. And the father says, shh, go get the calf. Go get the robe. Go get the sandals. The prodigal said, if I could just be a servant, I'll be all right. At least they have bread to eat. Sometimes, hear me today, sometimes our expectations are down here. If I could just get a little momentary respite, if I could just get a little peace. Just a little, just for a few minutes while the worship team is singing. While the altar call is going on, if I could just get a few minutes with peace from all of this turmoil. And our expectations are so low. But God is saying, look, I've got something better. I got something better. You just want to glean the corners and get enough to make it through the day. You just want to pick up a few handfuls on purpose and make it through the day. But what Ruth had no way of knowing is that God did not want Ruth just to be gleaning after the reapers. He wanted the reapers to be gleaning for her. He did not want her working in the field. He wanted her in the house being taken care of. I'm telling you today, you may have come with low expectations in this house, and you may have thought, well, if I could just get a little bit of peace, if I could just get a little bit of relief, if I could just get a little bit of dose, a little forgiveness for today, maybe I can make it till Monday. But what you did not know is that God wanted to make you a king and a priest. He did not want you just in the field, just getting by. He wanted you sitting by his side. He wanted you on the throne with him. He wanted you worshiping and living for him. Amen. Amen. I want you to know how beautiful the plan of God is. The Bible says in Isaiah 61 and 1, when God is telling us who he is, and then of course we see Jesus as God, he comes and he stands in the synagogue and he calls for this very passage of scripture, and he stands and reads, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes. And so we see the hand of God as he's working. The musicians will come. Naomi comes back with Ruth. Don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara. Call me bitterness. The Lord has dealt bitterly with me. Because she felt like all she had to bring home were the ashes, the leftovers of what she used to have. Don't call me Delight anymore. Because I left three graves in Moab. I left my dreams in Moab. I left my desires in Moab. I left my husband that I loved and my boys. The ashes of life are what is left when everything of value has been burned up, destroyed. But what Naomi had no way of knowing, what she had not had the revelation of yet, is that she was coming home to a God that gave beauty for ashes. It's an unfair exchange. Now, how did he do this for Naomi? Well, he gave her Ruth. Don't call me Naomi anymore. Call me Mara. Well, Mara, I don't think you realized it, but God gave you Ruth. Does anybody want to venture to guess what Ruth means? It's beauty. All I've got is ashes. I made mistakes. I have regrets. All I have to show for it is a daughter-in-law that loves me. Yeah, you're right. That's all. But what you thought was just Ruth was really God's way of redeeming everything you lost. So he gave Naomi, he gave her beauty for ashes. What did you bring him today? Well, I didn't bring him much. I've wasted so much time, Pastor. I've chased so many things. I've chased perversion. I've chased drugs and alcohol and just brokenness. That's really all I have left. If I could just get in the door, if I could just be a servant. But what you didn't realize is that walking by your side when you came in today was better. It was beauty. He gives you beauty for ashes. He exchanges the oil of joy for your mourning. He gives you the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Why? Why? That they, who's they? We are they. That us, we could be called the trees of righteousness. Well, I didn't expect much today. It's all right. It's just another service. It's all right. It's It's just another Sunday. It's just another day. But the God of better is here today. It's a better covenant built on better promises. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Come on. Well, this is what I want. Well, I got that. Well, this is all I have. Well, I'm going to give you this. Oh, come on. He is the God of better. He can take you from forbidden to favor. He can take you into his presence today. He has salvation for you. He has healing for you. He has joy. He has a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. He has beauty for ashes today. It is the God of better. Can we stand across this place right now? Oh, put your hands together for the God of better. Oh, if you want the Holy Ghost, today's your day. You can receive it. All you have to do is repent. Open your mouth and praise and let him feel it. Don't worry about what it sounds like. If you've never been baptized, this is your day. This is your day. If you need healing, this is your day. If you're a backslider today and you just came back, well, I just want to feel it again. I just want to sit on the outskirts. I just want to glean the corners of the service today. But God is saying, hey, come on in. Come on in. Come on in. The altar's open today. The altar's open today. He is the God of better. He is the God of better. He is the God of better. Hallelujah. He can give you beauty for ashes. Joy for mourning. He is the God of better.